There was this good Christian woman. She had three sons. They all became very wealthy. And they wanted to do something for their mama. They loved her. She was a special lady, and they wanted to do something special for her. And they had all made lots of money. And so the first son went and bought his mama a big house. And the second son went and bought his mama a fancy car, bought her a Rolls Royce. And the third son wanted to do something different. So he went looking around, and he found this parrot that was priceless because it could quote the entire Bible on demand. You could name the scripture, the chapter, the book, and this bird was priceless. So they all gave their mother their gifts. The mom told the first son, she came back, they had a family reunion sometime later. She came back, she told the first son, she said, "I appreciate the thought and the gift, but I can't live in that house. It's too big, it's too much, and I just don't need it." She went to the second son and said, "Son, I thank you for your heart and your thought. The car is beautiful, but I can't drive a car like that. I can't drive that car to church. I don't need to be seen in that car. It's just too much. I don't need that." And she went to the third son and she said, "Son, I want you to know that strange looking chicken you gave me was delicious." So there was a little bit of confusion there. And hopefully we won't have any confusion this morning. God is not the author of confusion. Amen. So he's here to speak to our hearts. Thank you, Father. I want to talk to you this morning about deep calling unto deep. I want to talk about deep calling unto deep. Father, we love you and we thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do. We thank you for the power of the God's word to change our lives, Lord, to bring us into a new place with you, a new place of revelation and understanding. Father, I feel the Holy Spirit wooing your church, calling your church, beckoning your church to come to a new place, to come to higher ground, to come to a new place of revelation, a new place of understanding. God, I'm thankful that you're calling us out. Lord, that we respond to that call and that we leave where we've been and we come to this new place with you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hunger will bring a breakthrough. When you get desperate, when you get hungry, when you determine that I'm after something, I'm going after it. Amen. And I'm gonna get it. That kind of hunger, that kind of drive, that kind of passion and desire will bring breakthrough, will bring result. And breakthrough will bring great success. With breakthrough comes success, overflow, abundance. Out of a hunger, out of a desire, out of a passion of hard work and dedication and sacrifice will come breakthrough. And following breakthrough will come abundance, will come success. But oftentimes with success, we don't handle it very well and we build great monuments to what we have achieved and what we have done and what we have accomplished, and we forget what got us there. We live in a country that is blessed unlike any other nation in the world. But hard work, sacrifice, men and women in communities loving each other and working together and sacrificing, and those kinds of things made America great. And America has become a great nation. And in that greatness, in the monuments we have built to our greatness, we are forgetting what made us strong. And our churches do the same thing. Churches and denominations and groups that used to didn't have anything, had nothing, but they loved one another. They prayed together. They had prayer meetings. They knelt around altars. They sought God. And they saw breakthrough. Great things happened. And with the breakthrough, there was great success. And with the success, large churches have been built and great denominations have been built and monuments to our success have been built. But we've lost something. Because we have forgotten what brought the breakthrough. That same hunger, that same passion, that same desire, it's not the same. I was listening to some older football players. I like football, y'all know that. And I was listening to some of the great football players of the past, guys who paved the way, you know, back in the 50s and the 60s. And they were talking about how they played. And they said, we don't see that same thing in some of the younger men today because they're making millions of dollars. And they said, they don't have that same hunger, that same passion, that same desire. We've lost something. And it's easy to do because when you get successful and abundance comes with success, it's easy to lose your way and forget about what got you there. The sacrifice that parents made and grandparents made and great-grandparents made that's been passed on as a heritage to generations, and sometimes those generations don't appreciate what great-grandma and great-grandpa, the price they paid to get them there. I believe God is wanting to bring us back to a new place of hunger, a new place of desire, a remembrance of how we got to where we're supposed to be. It's important that we understand that. The Pope was taking on a tour. And in this tour, he was showing the riches of the Vatican. He was showing the great wealth the Vatican had accumulated through the years. And he turned to his audience and he said, you know, never again will the church have to say, silver and gold have I none. And someone there spoke up and said, that's true. But neither can we say rise and walk in the name of Jesus. You reach that place where you have accumulated all the things you think you've got, but you've lost that power. You've lost the anointing. You've lost the zeal and the passion and the heart. That's deep calling unto deep. And so it becomes harder for the next generation in some ways. I was reading the other day about some of the mainline denominations in America are losing numbers by the droves. We've got huge churches that are almost empty. Monuments that we've built to the success of the past that are dying. And it is left on this generation to tear down the monuments that have been built because they have become an impediment to a move of God, because we are so comfortable. It's just getting back to the basics, getting back to what got us here. Amen? Does that make sense? Getting back to what's real. The Word of God says we're supposed to move from glory to glory. Amen? God wants to move you from glory to glory, from revelation to revelation. God wants to move you to a higher place, a deeper place, a more glorious place. It was never God's intent to bless us so much that we lost the fire and we lost the zeal and we lost the passion. How many times have we seen young Christians come into church and get saved and get excited and get born again and get on fire for God, and they've got all that zeal and got all that passion? And the older Christians sitting in the church that have been sitting there for so long, you'll hear them say things like, well, they're just young in the Lord. They're just zealous. They'll get over it. They'll calm down after a while. And you know what's sad about that? They usually do. Amen? Remember when you used to be on fire for God. I'm asking you to remember when people knelt and prayed and sought after God and lingered around altars and saw the move of God. Deep calling unto deep. To go back to that and remember what that was like. That kind of hunger, that kind of passion for the things of God. When everybody wasn't so comfortable, everything wasn't so easy. People were seeking after the Lord, moving from glory to glory. God is moving. You can stand on the sidelines and watch it, or you can get in it. But I want to step into what God is doing. You know what? How it works. You know, we want God to come bless what we're doing. God, come bless what we're doing. We've started this program. We've started that program. We've got this going. Come bless it, Lord. God wants you to come do what He's blessing. We want God to come and get involved in our agenda. God is saying, why don't you get involved in my agenda? Why don't you get involved in what I'm doing? Amen? Hallelujah. To step into what God is doing. Let me teach you something. Turn to 1 Corinthians. I want to show you something that will help you in your Bible study. And it will help us this morning. So we're going to look at something. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Go to find verse 44. I'm going to teach you a principle that's true all the way through the Word of God. And when you're studying God's Word, if you understand this principle, it will help you. It will unlock things for you. It will help bring greater revelation and understanding in the depths of God's Word. I've been teaching in Revelation. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 44 says, it is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first. But the natural, and then after that comes the spiritual. You see that? You have a natural body before you have a spiritual body. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say, I understand that. It's a principle of God's word that natural comes before spiritual. Ishmael came before Isaac. Ishmael was natural. Isaac was spiritual. Isaac was anointed by God. Esau came before Jacob. All through the Bible, you find this principle of natural before spiritual. There was the natural lamb of sacrifice in the Old Testament until we got the real spiritual Lamb of God. There was natural and then there was spiritual. There was a tabernacle in the Old Testament, a physical natural tabernacle, but Jesus was the spiritual tabernacle that came and dwelt among us. So there is natural, and then there is spiritual. Now, in the Old Testament, one of the things you often see is rain. Rain. The natural rain precedes the spiritual rain. In the types and the shadows and the understanding of the Bible. So with that in mind, understanding that principle, now we can apply that principle to the Word of God. Go to Genesis chapter 7. You learn something. You now know in the Word of God there's natural and then there's spiritual. So we're going to look at the natural and then we're going to look at the spiritual. Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, and the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up. The fountains of the deep were broken up. Springs and wells of water began to break open out of the earth. The fountains of the great deep were broken up. Springs and wells and depths of water began to boil up out of the earth. And then the windows of heaven were open. Natural and then spiritual. He says that the depths of the earth opened up. Deep calling unto deep. Oh, church, you need to see this. The depths of the earth opened up. And when the depths of the earth opened up, heaven opened up. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to sit, stand here and say it till you get it. The depths of the earth, the fountains of the deep, opened up first. And when the fountains of the deep opened up, then the heavens opened up. Deep, Psalms 42 says, calling unto deep. That is the deep of man calling unto the deep of God. That is the depths of the fountains of the earth calling unto heaven, and the heavens opening up. Come on, church. Y'all are way too quiet this morning. When heaven begins to call on God, I mean, when the earth begins to pray, when the depths of the earth, when the deep of man begins to cry out, begins to call on God, then the deep of heaven, the depths of heaven, the glories of heaven, the riches of heaven, the mercies of heaven, the grace of heaven are opened up, and he opens up the windows of heaven and pours you out a blessing. That's the power of deep calling unto deep. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said that's the power of deep calling unto deep. The depths calling unto the depths of God. See, and you start to see this when you learn this. Remember Jacob and his ladder? You know what it says about that ladder? It says the ladder on earth reached into the heavens. It started on the earth. It didn't say the ladder from the heavens reached down to the earth. It says the ladder on the earth reached into the heavens. Church, it has to work this way. It has to be natural and then spiritual. It has to be deep, the depths of the earth calling out, and then heaven is open and the fountains begin to flow. We're sitting in our comfort zones wondering why God don't show up. Folks, God's not going to just show up. Deep calls unto deep. Amen? Deep calls unto deep. That's why revival begins with brokenness. Revival begins with brokenness. On our way back from New Orleans, bringing our team back, Scott was sharing with me about one church they went to, and Daniel told me the same thing. They went to this one specific church, and there was brokenness. People were weeping. People were crying. He said it was different than the other places they had been. And I predict God to do something in that place. And I'll let them tell that story because I wasn't there. But it moved me when I heard it. It struck a chord with me. That brokenness, revival comes out of brokenness when people are broken. People are desperate. People are crying out to God. That's why Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." A poor in spirit heart is one who has a sense of lack. The Laodicean church said, "We are increased with goods and have need of nothing. We've got our padded pews and our stained glass windows and our air conditioning, our comfort. We're okay, God. We're doing pretty good. We're paying the bills." We're all right. We're increased with goods and have need of nothing. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that have a sense of lack. Blessed are those that have a sense of need. Blessed are those that have a desire and a cry that I want more. Blessed are those who are not satisfied. Blessed are those who say I don't have enough. Blessed are those who say there's more out there and I'm going after it. That's what Jesus was saying. But when you think you got it all, when you think you don't need anything else, when you think you've arrived, there's nothing more. Deep calling unto deep. You recognize your need. And it's my cry to God is not just a form of prayer. It's not just repetition. It's not just going through the motions. But it's real. It's real. So much of what we call church is just repetition. It's just motion. It's just, for a lot of people, it's this game we play every Sunday morning. And we just go through the motions, but where's the real passion? Where's the real need? Where's the real hunger? Recognizing that need in my life, do you not understand that's what heaven responds to? That's what touches the heart of God? Jesus said, don't reprimand this woman who has washed my feet with her tears and spilled this costly ointment. I sat in here all evening and not one of you, not one of you showed that kind of passion, showed that kind of desire, showed that kind of hunger, showed that sense of need. Not one of you. You've all sat there in my presence and asked for nothing. But this woman, oh church, don't you see? It was the blind man who wouldn't be silent that got his eyes open. Don't you see? Don't you see? It was the woman that pressed through the crowd and had to touch his garment, even though others would push her away, that got healed and got touched. It's always been the desperate. It's always been those who went clawing after it. God can't turn away that kind of heart. It just can't. When people know and deep starts calling unto deep, that blind man had a deep need, had been blind since birth, and out of his depths, he said, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That was deep. That was deep calling unto deep. And the deep of God heard that call. I said the deep of God heard that call and said, bring him to me. Glory to God. The man who was the demoniac who went running to the feet of Jesus, he had just enough of his right mind to know that I've got a need. I'm tormented. I'm bound. I'm shackled. I'm chained by these demonic powers. And he ran and he fell at the feet of Jesus with a cry and with a scream, deep calling unto deep. And the master of all creation drove those demons out and sent them on their way because he has the power to respond. Oh, hallelujah. The fountains of the deep were broken up and heaven answered. When Jesus died on the earth, he died on the earth. Now this is good. I just told you that when the deep calls unto deep, God help us open our eyes here to see this. I just told you that when the deep of man calls unto the deep of God, something happens. When it comes up out of the depths of the earth, that the heavens open. Jesus came to the earth and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us and we beheld the glory of God. Jesus became Yeshua, the man who walked among us. He became one of us. He became our representative. He became that spiritual Adam. that walked on the earth. And when he cried out from the earth, when he died on the cross, it was the fountains of the deep. It was man. It was the deep of man calling unto the deep of God. He was man. It was the deep of man calling unto the deep of God. And the deep of God looked down and saw a cross and saw his son hanging on it, crying out for you and crying out for me and crying out for a world. And heaven answered. And you know how I know heaven answered? It says that curtain that four yoke of oxen could not pull apart was rent from top to bottom. God showed up and said, I heard you, son. Hallelujah. And that curtain was torn from top to bottom. That was heaven answering. That was heaven answering. The depths rose up from the earth and God came down and tore that curtain and said, a way has been made. Heaven answered. So a British pilot named Henley was on a flight, and to his horror, he looked down in his plane and there was a rat in it, and the rat was chewing on the fuel line. And he couldn't get to the rat because of his position. He knew he didn't have much time. But rather than land and go down, he went up. And he had on his oxygen mask, and he got way up where there was no oxygen. And the rat couldn't breathe. And the rat died. There's a lesson in that. If you the first time trouble hits, you start going down, you're going down where the rats are. But if you go higher, come on, church. If you go higher and you get up there where the rats can't live, and you get there, is a path that the vulture's eye has never seen and the lions do not trod there. There is a place in God where the devil cannot go. There is a bloodline and a hedge that belongs to the people of God. Church, if you will go up higher, if you will go up higher where the rats of hell cannot live, that's where you need to learn to live and where you need to walk. Whew, man. Hallelujah. In Acts, turn there real quick and read this. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Peter and John had been arrested. You know why they were arrested? This is, what did I just tell you? Go up higher. You know why they were arrested? Peter and John were arrested because they were boldly speaking the word of God. Amen? Say, that's exciting. They were arrested for boldly preaching the word of God. Church, we're going to boldly preach the word of God. Amen? They were arrested for boldly preaching the word of God. They got set free. All right, so they come back to the church. They came back, and it says in verse 29, they prayed a prayer. And when they prayed the prayer, they said, now, Lord, look on their threats. Lord, take note of, because what did they tell them when they set them free? Don't preach this stuff anymore. Don't do this anymore. So they went back to their church, and they said, Lord, look on their threat. Lord, you heard their threats. They told us to quit doing this. So now grant to your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word. Glory to God. You just got arrested for speaking boldly the word of God, and now you got set free, and you're praying, God, make us bolder. You know what that prayer is? We're going higher. But now a lot of people would have said, well, we better tone things down. We've upset the government. We've upset people. We better tone it down. Come on, church. We better get it right. We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to. And you're coming down to where the rats are. Church, go higher. Go higher. Be bolder. Don't let the enemy intimidate you and keep you away from what God has set for you. Amen. So they said, with all boldness that we may speak your word. And then what is that? That's the earth calling out. And then look at what's going to happen. And by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Peter said, we're just going to preach the word. And if we preach the word, God will show up. That's what he's saying. God will stretch out his hand to heal and deliver and set free if we do our part. If we do our part, God will do his. Amen? Deep calling unto deep. Deep calling unto deep. Deep calling unto deep. Hallelujah. Psalms 86 says, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. How many of you, your heart is set on pilgrimage? You got saved, you knew you were beginning a journey. Whose heart is set on pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca. The word Baca means weeping. Weeping only lasts for a night, but joy comes in the morning. As they pass through the valley of weeping, it says they make it a spring. And the rain covers it with pools. People turning, changing their environment because though they are passing through the valley of weeping, what was meant for evil, God turns to good. Mark 16 says they preached the word and he confirmed the word. I think it's Mark 16, 20. They preached the word and he confirmed it with signs and wonders. The deep of man calling unto the deep of God. When the deep of man preaches and proclaims and stands on the word of God, the deep of God confirms the word with signs and wonders. When it happens here, it happens there. I said, when it happens here, it happens there. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. It happens in the earth and then it happens in heaven. Here's my musicians this morning to come. Deep calling unto deep. The church has got to start with us. God's people have got to start calling on God again. God's people have got to start getting serious about church again. Serious about the things of God. Amen? Hungry for God. Hungry for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus.